Welcome to Living Villa Capelli, where we learn life is so much sweeter when you add a little Italian to it. And now your hosts, Paul Capelli and Stephen Crutchfield.
Hi, I'm Paul.
And I'm Stephen.
And that voice, that beautiful, amazing voice of the voiceover is Anna Boccino.
Thank you, Anna.
Thank you, Anna. We love you.
Yes. It's the best part of the podcast, actually.
No. It is.
Oh, so thank you again for joining us for Living Villa Capelli here, guys. And this episode, we're going to be talking Italian weddings. Not necessarily. So this isn't destination weddings, which we covered in whatever episode that was with Jeannie. This is more of an actual Italian wedding, and we're going to tell you a little bit of our experience because we just got back from one last week from our friends Gabby and Nicola. They got married, and it was typical.
It's Gabri.
Gabri, oh.
Gabriella and Nicola. Nicola Ruggiero.
Yes.
And Gabriella Bulzis. Doesn't sound like an Italian name, does it?
No.
Bulzis. They're from Bitonto. Bitonto is not far from here. Bitonto is a cool town. Beautiful, beautiful town. Three times the size of Telizzi. And crazy with mobsters.
Yes.
Like crazy.
And we
like Wild West crazy. Like they send in the army to quell the disturbances.
And we were bad Americans for the actual wedding ceremony. We arrived, we say, fashionably exactly on time. Meaning it was literally the priest said, "You're now husband and wife." It was fantastic. So then we got to congratulate them and see the farewells. We didn't have to sit through a wedding in Italian and Latin, which is excruciating for me.
Well, there's no Latin, so don't listen to Stephen's crap. It's Italian. He doesn't know the difference.
I thought they did some in Latin.
So. No.
Natalie's wasn't in Latin either?
No.
I thought it was.
No. Stephen, please.
Sorry, that it was.
Vatican Council, hello.
Oh,
no. The priest, though, Dave, as part of his blessing at the end, said something that I thought was kind of funny, actually. I don't think he realized what he was saying. He didn't really think about it. Being a priest maybe doesn't get much sex, at least not with women. But he says at one point, you know, now as you go out into the world, remember, always be by each other's side. Always be by each other's side. Not on top of each other, but by each other's side. And he meant, like, you know, don't suffocate each other.
Exactly.
But it's like,
as partners.
So I went up to Nicola at the end of the ceremony and I said, "Now remember what the priest said. Tonight, side by side, don't you be getting on top of her."
So then we went from there, as always. Then you traveled to the reception.
Yes.
Which is the actual experience here. And trust me, it's an experience.
Andrea. The city of Andrea. Actually, Andrea is the largest comune, meaning city, which is not a province. You know, there are some cities that are the center of the province, like the seat of the county, like, you know, the much bigger cities like Florence, Pisa, Rome, Bari. But Andrea is the largest comune, the largest city in and of itself in all of Italy. I think it's 125,000 inhabitants.
Jeez.
Yeah. Very old city, too. So what isn't old in Italy?
Yeah. So, actually, the space we went to, it's a, what was the villa?
Villa Sant'Elia.
Yeah. Beautiful. So, I think this is actually very typical of the spaces here, too. And I have to brag a little bit about our space. But the outdoor space is gorgeous. It is a landscaping dream. Anybody who loves it, I mean, they just do a magnificent job with the outside. It's really, really amazing, beautiful. But then you get
when you walk in, you know, the first thing you see is the old structure, the old beautiful house, the
exactly.
old beautiful
yeah.
villa.
That's true. Yeah. And then also with the cypress trees and flowers and actual grass, which is kind of rare here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really beautiful. But then you get inside and it's this I mean, blank space, like a festival hall, you'd find like a VFW.
American Legion.
Yeah, post. It's just...
It wasn't quite that bad.
It wasn't quite that bad, but it was a little, I don't know.
It was built just to house people who were going to eat and dance.
Yeah.
Not even drink. Italians don't really drink like Americans do. That's why Italian weddings can be funny if you're an American, but they're not as much fun as American weddings. American weddings, you know, I think they're more fun because people get shit-faced.
This time there were a few of those people doing that too, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I think they got really drunk after we left. During the meal, you know, people were just crazy just because they thought they should be crazy.
Yeah. No, but I will say, again, bragging about our space, I think we're beautiful inside and out.
Oh, so sweet.
But it is different. I mean, we've worked hard because ours
is all original structure.
Exactly, and we've worked hard to preserve that. Where they kind of stucco. I mean, they might have had original structure too, but they stuccoed over it if they did.
No, that was just built out.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, anyway, the next point I have on my list, I have a list I made for you guys at the wedding while I was there. The other point is, there's lots of freaking babies at these weddings.
They don't believe in babysitters in Italy. They don't believe in, like, they take their little kids everywhere.
But there had to be at least, I mean, no exaggeration, 10 to 20 couples there with freaking carriages and babies. And we're talking toddlers that are...
Toddlers? No. Like, we're talking breastfeeding babies.
Yeah, exactly. 2 months old. Like, I mean, John Frankel's is two months?
Yeah, 2 months.
I mean, and there's the band is like blaring, and it was crazy. I just don't get that.
Well, Italians bring their kids to restaurants, you know, and then if they fall asleep during the meal at night, they take their kids and put them in the car outside and lock the car doors and leave the kids in there sleeping while they go back inside the restaurant and eat.
Yeah,
in America, you'd be arrested.
It's crazy. A friend of ours took a bunch of pictures of them and called it the dead baby portrait. Serious, because all these kids like asleep looking like they're dead in the car. It was horrible.
It's horrifying.
Oh, it's really horrible.
I've taken a knife to some of them if they come near my table. Oh. I hate other people's kids. I love my kids. I hate other people's kids.
That's not true. You like well-behaved kids.
Yeah, I do.
That's unfortunate.
Actually, I hate little kids' parents. That's what I really hate, because it's their fault. Well, the kids are rats.
Exactly, yeah.
Anyway,
my next note is food. The food at these weddings, guys, it's over the top.
Well, this wedding, quite honestly, Nicola and
they did a very good
Gabri's
job.
was subtle and, you know, subdued food-wise, as opposed to some of the weddings we've been to.
So we'll give you a comparison. This is subdued, guys. Okay, so we started with it's not really the antipasti. They're more like bite sizes to get you...
Yeah, they're appetizers, yeah.
They're still both considered appetizer course. So there's
amuse-bouche.
Like, they kind of were amuse-bouche. They're little tiny bites. There was everything from... tuna in a sauce to, like, just literally little spoonful that you take a bite to, fried little pieces to little sandwich things, you know, typical finger foods sort of thing.
Yeah.
Very quick, very, you know, boom, everybody eats that. Then you move into the room and you start the actual meal. There were 3 antipastis. It was a raw seafood, which was a pretty big plate of raw seafood.
Yeah, it was good too.
That was good. Then there was shrimp a la Donald Trump.
Yes, well, Steve, you got to put that picture up.
I'll put the picture up. You should see it. It was shrimp and that pasta that's like a really thin pasta.
I think it's a Swedish thing, Scandinavian thing. I forget what it's called. It begins with a K.
Yeah.
But it looked like Donald Trump's hair on it.
Yeah, it was good. I thought it was okay. Paul.
Nah, not for me. The shrimp was like mealy.
Yeah, and then there was a smoked duck breast, which is basically a duck, like a carpaccio almost, because it was really, really thinly sliced. I thought that was really good. Paul doesn't like smoked, so he didn't like that.
And it was too fatty for me. Sorry.
Yeah. But then there are 2 pastas. So this one was a ravioli, and I forget what the other one was, like a something.
Okay.
Tomato something, I think. And then there was
It was like cavatelli.
Cavatelli. And then there was a main course entree, which was a fish. And a couple little small
it was
sides.
The flesh of the fish was gray.
I wasn't going to get into this. Not
who the hell eats gray
not
fish?
Not that these guys are going to be listening to this podcast, but oh my gosh, it was horrible. It was really bad. But now you're done with that. I mean, this whole process takes you, because we'll get into that in a little bit too, not just the food, but the whole process of it. but that's taking you 7-8 hours. Then you go out and have, they cut the wedding cake, and then they serve, I mean, there had to have been, I don't know how many different kind of cakes and torts out there.
Yeah, it was like four long tables. It was awesome.
It was huge amount of stuff. And then after that even, and this is with after dinner drinks, and the whole time you're drinking wine, Prosecco, the whole time. And then there was a whole other section where they were having confetti, which are the candy-coated almonds.
Yes.
That's always very traditional in Italian weddings.
Yes.
And that was that's the meal. And this is a conservative meal.
Yes.
We went to a very similar meal what, 5 years ago now?
Yeah, usually. Probably seven.
Yeah. Paul's cousin, his daughter, was getting married. And this was probably, it would probably be double the amount of food at this wedding.
At this wedding, they should have played da 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 da. But it was unbelievable. The one 7 years ago was a huge place called Villa Carafa, which
place.
I call Villa Cafone. Like Guido, more Guido than Guido.
Yeah.
The place was beautiful, and it's all like 17th century villa, beautiful grounds,
beautiful, beautiful
everything.
Place, yeah.
They had an entire room, like I don't mean like a room, like a bedroom, a room like a.
20 feet by
like a
feet.
Racquetball court.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe bigger. Of just raw seafood, like oysters on the half shell, everything.
Crazy.
Like crazy, crazy.
And then not just when you sat down, it wasn't one entree. It was, I think, I'm pretty sure there were five entrees. That was probably like two pastas or something.
No. It was three or four pastas and then three or four entrees.
And I think it was because they wanted to do like a chicken, one fish, and one meat. So everybody's covered. So everybody got every single serving. And it wasn't small pieces. They were huge.
No, and it was a lot of people.
Oh, it was crazy.
So, but here's the icing on the proverbial cake. Pardon the pun. So when the meal is done, this is the 7 year ago wedding. When the meal is done, everyone is asked to stand up, and the doors to the big ballroom that we're in having the wedding reception, the doors open up, music starts up pretty loudly, and through the doors come two male ballet dancers and three ballerinas in tutus, and they start, you know, dancing on their toes, whatever that's called. I'm not a big ballet aficionado, so I don't know. And they come into the room doing their little ballet dance, the five of them, six of them, and behind them comes the cake. They're escorting the wedding cake into the room.
And they actually dance around the wedding cake.
Yes. So that everyone, you know, could delight in the beauty and spectacle of the wedding cake.
And the wedding cake, probably no exaggeration, at least 4 feet tall.
Yeah, it was like six stories.
It was wheeled into the room. And then, but the actual desserts were on a tables of...
I think it was wheeled in with a forklift.
It was close to it. But the actual desserts, again, a spread of all kinds of stuff, you know, of different things, cookies to cakes to other stuff, all in these tables. The tables were... easily 20 meters. It was a big U shape, 20 meters by 30 meters by 20 meters. I mean, it was huge.
But
by that time, nobody was eating.
Well, but I think even in the 7 years that have transpired between that wedding and this week's wedding, a lot of changes have been going on in Italian weddings. First of all, they have gotten a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
They're not that big Guido thing you see in The Godfather. And what happened at that wedding, when we were invited outside to the dessert area, and it was like an area, it was like, you know, a small football field of desserts. The really strange thing about it was that partly because everybody was full from this huge meal, but everyone still, you know, jumped all over the desserts. They had stacked up at the end of every table, and there had to be like seven of these long tables filled with pastries and desserts. At the end of every table were stacks and stacks of unfolded cardboard boxes that you would fold up like a pastry box that you would find in a Italian pastry store. You would fold it up, you would fill up the box with pastries that you were going to take home. And everybody takes home a box of pastries.
It's like kind of like your parting gift.
Oh, I mean, it was unbelievable.
It was gluttonous to the extreme and wasteful. It was ridiculous.
Now, here's the strangest story of all. Especially because Nicola and Gabri's wedding happened in Andria. Old school Andria. And there's people who still do it. They still do this. You know, just like at any Italian wedding, it's all about la busta, the envelope. At Italian weddings in Italy, you don't give presents. If you give them a present, they probably will throw it back at you. Everybody wants cash. Cash in the envelope. Because first of all, the wedding is like usually about anywhere from 125 to 175 euro per person for the meal. So you're sort of expected to pay for the meal and then some. For the bride and groom, so yeah, you can't walk, you can't leave a wedding, or go to a wedding with two people without leaving at least 400 euro, which is like 500 bucks. Fine, that's not so bad, I guess. But
it's a different thought process for us.
So the wedding we went to 7 years ago, or maybe it was another one in between there. I think the bride. Oh, also there were no there's no best man. And ushers, and no maid of honor, and maids of honor. What are they called?
Yeah, there's a. That's right. Right.
Yeah, ushers and maids of honor, whatever.
Bridesmaids,
right? So there's none of that. So the bride and groom sit at a table by themselves, in front of everybody,
which is kind of depressing. I must tell you, depressing, but it's kind of sad to see it. Just because I guess we're used to seeing the people celebrating with you, and there are obviously people right next to them, but...
Yeah, because American weddings are more like a roast, you know, when you roast Dean Martin, you know, the best man gets up and makes the toast and all that kind of stuff. They do a little bit of that here, but not really so much. But anyway, the bride and groom sit by themselves, and more often than not, at their table will be a little, like, treasure chest, and you are then expected to go up, wish the bride and groom, at your leisure, wish the bride and groom, you know, all the happiness in the world and lots of babies, and then drop your envelope into their treasure chest. And fine, yeah, that's the way it is. At this wedding, Gabri and Nicola, that didn't happen. There was a woman who was kind of like standing behind Gabri
with her purse,
stuffing it with these envelopes.
This poor girl. She was like, "You need to put that in the safe deposit box real soon."
Right. So all this cash going around. So. Going back to old school Andria and the way some of the Andriesi do their weddings. The bride and groom is sitting at the table. They have their little treasure chest on the table. Towards the end of the wedding, you know, when everyone is good and slobbered, and you know, there's a lull in the dancing, daddy, the bride's daddy, gets up with a microphone. And he wishes everybody welcome, and, you know, thanks for coming, I'm so delighted, this is just wonderful. And now we're going to open the envelopes. And the guy proceeds to open the envelopes that are in the little treasure chest, opens them up, takes out, looks at the amount of money, reads out the name of the person who left the envelope, and says, you know, like, "Uncle Vinny gave 500 euro. Yay, that's kind of good."
Everybody claps and tears.
Some people boo. Then he opens up another one. You know, "Aunt Susie gave 150 euro. Ooh. And then he'll say, "Aunt Susie, would you like to, like, add something to this? And now's your chance. You can still add to this if you would like."
I didn't know he did that part. That part's new to me. Oh, my gosh. This is worse and worse.
And this goes on until he reads every envelope and tells you how much money person at the wedding gave.
I mean, to me, this is my spot. I would be like, "Screw you, I'm giving you a euro." I'd put a freaking euro in the envelope.
Yeah, sure you would. They would shoot you before you left the room.
Well, if they're from Bitonto, yes, but I don't know.
And they used to also cut off the groom's tie. And I think everybody used to get their tie cut off at the wedding.
I wonder what that signified.
I have no, that's probably castration. You got married and you get your dick cut off.
Oh, That is true. That was one of my points in here, so you covered that already. You're so good. The next point, though, I want to talk about, I mean, we talk about all these courses too, guys, and it's a long process. But the thing is also you're not just sitting there, because in between every course, everybody gets up and dances.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, I mean, so
and everybody's got to do a friggin' train.
I do the trains. That was my other bullet point in here. I have a video of this, so I'll put this up in the show notes, guys. But I don't get it. They all love doing the trains. Or the other big song, which they play at every party, whatever it is. And just, I think it's because they all know the moves, and none of them know the meaning behind the song.
It's the gayest song ever written.
YMCA. They can be at the Y. And they all sit there and they all.
It's the big crescendo song of the evening.
It's crazy.
It's like everything leads up to YMCA.
It's crazy.
I don't get it.
It's such a weird phenomenon here. It's seriously.
Like, you cannot go to a party or a wedding in this country without them eventually playing YMCA, and usually preceded by In the Navy, gay song. It's like, what the hell is going on here?
I will say, though, with this particular wedding, the band was excellent.
The band was great.
They were really, really good. The thing I thought was interesting, but not that interesting, because it was a younger couple getting married, but I would say a good 90% of the songs, if not more than that, were all
American songs. Yeah.
They were all singing American songs. There was hardly any Italian songs, which I guess, you know, obviously American with movies and music dominates pop culture now.
Yes. The highlight of the evening for me was when we went outside and they cut the cake.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody was given like a foot-long sparkler. And it lit all the sparklers. So there's like, you know, 75 people standing around with all these sparklers. I don't know. I have a soft spot in my heart for sparklers. I just love sparklers. And then when you see like 75 or 100 of them together in one place, all like sparkling, and it is just so cool.
It was a great idea, I thought.
Yeah.
So I do have a video. I don't know how good the video is going to be because it was with my iPhone, but I will have a video in the show notes if you want to see this, guys. So head over to livingvillacapelli.com/19 and you can see that.
And come to the villa. Like, we have a couple coming to visit us Saturday. They've already booked our villa for their wedding next June, I believe it is.
It's going to be a little bit smaller.
She's from Ruvo di Puglia, which is right next door.
Oh, yeah.
And he is from Germany. And what they're going to do at our house is they're going to have a German beer garden and a pig roast.
Yes.
Yeah, baby.
I will say, and speaking to the caterers we'll probably end up using, and also this particular, while the food wasn't great, and the caterers we use, they do much better food. They are well-oiled machines here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
it's an industry, man.
I mean, and then somebody was telling us, like, a place like the way we were at, they actually sometimes do 3 weddings a day.
Yep.
And these weddings, again.
Wedding factory.
Yeah. I mean, they must be. I'm wondering if some of them do different spaces.
And it wasn't even on Long Island.
No. But it was, I mean, they know what they're doing. I mean, they're moving stuff in and out, and they clear those tables, and they move you to the next section. It's a really well-oiled machine. Even though the uniforms were really, really cheesy. I'm sorry, they were.
Well, it's okay.
We're not having uniforms like that.
No. And we have a wedding coming up in November. An American couple is coming all the way from California, right? From Los Angeles.
Yes. And we'd have them.
And they're going to get married here this November for Thanksgiving week.
Yes, we're definitely doing a podcast then.
Yes.
Especially because Beachy has his good sound equipment. So
yeah.
We can sound really good, better than we
Beachy,
do now.
Joe Beachy was the sound man on, if any of you caught us on our reality TV show almost 4 years ago now called The Pitch on AMC. We're in 2 episodes of that. You can still see it, I guess, on
iTunes. Yep.
Joe Beachy was the sound man, and he and his lovely bride-to-be are coming here in November, and they're getting married.
It's going to be cool. I'll link to that in the show notes too, guys.
Yeah.
It's actually, if you haven't seen those episodes, they're very, if you think our podcast is entertaining, wait till you see something really produced very well.
Right.
No, it was a lot of fun to do that show, and those guys were great to, you know, to work with, and the final outcome was a really entertaining show. I was very impressed with it.
Okay, I think that's it.
Yep, that's good. So
that's it for our wedding extravaganza.
So remember, guys, you can find, we always appreciate ratings and reviews on iTunes.
Please, please, please rate us nicely.
Yes. You know, that always helps us get found in iTunes. So if you go there and give us a little rating, even if it's whatever, just give us something. And then if you want to keep up with us, you can find us at Villa Capelli everywhere, from, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest. You know, just look up Villa Capelli. And
as they say in Italy, Villa Capelli is like parsley. It grows everywhere.
Everywhere. There was one that, oh, and be sure to sign up to our newsletter. I'm going to be trying to do a little bit more of a regular newsletter that gives you a little bit more of our tips and tricks and hints every week. And you can also find us, by the way, I have to mention my our Facebook group that we've started. Please join that fun in there, because that is...
And what's the name of it, which you never remember?
Oh, Italian Food and Travel Tips and Tricks.
Ooh, baby.
Gotcha. All right. Thanks, guys, for listening.
Thank you.
All right. Arrivederci.
Buonanotte.
Ciao.
Ciao.